Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yudinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre callings on that, Delhi number 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob? All right, a deadly sister here, Bachelor of Science, Wildlife Conservation Biology. Graduate is a prominent for the participation of First Nations people and women in STEM careers. And at the young age of just 28 years old, Tiani has already established herself as a prominent role model in next generation leader. So we're going to catch up a yarn there with Tiani Adamson on the line. Tiani, my sister, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
No worries. So my ancestry is Kurrig from Waven in First Nation Island in Zendith Cares up in the Torres Strait, but yes. I didn't grow up that way.
Okay.
I grew up all over Australia. Yeah.
Good, beautiful. And I will say you're going to go a long way in life. My sister's name Tiani, so how deadly are you?
How good.
Very good. Congratulations. So Bachelor of Science, Wildlife Conservation Biology. So that's First Nation people and women in STEM careers. So paint the picture. Tell us the journey first and what you're doing, how you got there, sister.
Yeah, no worries. So I'm really lucky. I got to grow up in lots of different parts of Australia, including Boogerman community in Palm Island, then down Nookanoo Way in Port Augusta, Nao country in Coffin Bay, and now I live in Tandanyanga, which is Adelaide on Kaurna country.
All right,
I've always had a really strong connection with the environment and loved looking after plants and animals. Mm. Super curious young kid, living off country and fishing and hunting and being able to grow up that way with family and with different types of community and always wondering how those systems work. So, yeah, cool. I guess like growing up in natural environments fostered that for me and grew quite a love for science and wanting to learn more about that and understand those systems more.
Well, your passion and desires and your education has got you in a position where this year you received a Dr. K. Price AM Award for demonstrating excellence in ambassadorship for STEM. So when you're doing something you love and you're passionate about it, doors open up, sister.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been really lucky, you know, through my studies, being supported by programs such as Wiltiyalu, so Aboriginal Support Services, and, yeah, being so excited in the area and being able to have the strength of community and good friends and family to back me up is definitely very helpful in this way.
Yeah, fantastic. And what about this space? Is there any other First Nation people on board or in the same studies as you?
Yeah, so there's lots of different First Nations scientists around, but we're not getting the platform that we need at the moment, I think. Mm-hmm. People don't generally know many female scientists, and they don't generally know many scientists who are Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander, so really important to be able to lift up those voices of people who are in this space doing this work. There's a lot of different people in astronomy and different fields and areas of engineering,
yes.
And it's really great to have them as sort of a conduit between community and being able to translate 60,000-80,000 years of amazing knowledge into these other systems.
So not only Bachelor of Science, I mean, we First Nation people, we are virtually professors in all the industries, aren't we? 60,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. So maybe CSIRO could create a platform as such, you know. We need a space like a national body to support and guide and nurture all our wildlife conservation biology, all our scientists, all our black scientists. There should be a platform as such, a vehicle as such, yes?
Yeah, 100%. And CSIRO have done really good work in the past in being able to lift up our voices and bringing mob together, supporting programs like the Aboriginal Summer School for Excellence in Science and Technology and fostering young mob to get excited about science and being able to start that journey together.
Yeah, fantastic. And look, it's good to be yarning with you. It is National Science Week as of now, from the 12th to the 20th. So, look, fantastic and congratulations. And where are you based in? Where are you working in with the government or with an organisation? Or what are you doing as in finance-wise?
So
you got a JOB?
Yeah, I'm down in Adelaide. I work for an industry, a company called CH4 Global.
Yes.
And basically what we do is look at climate change solutions for methane mitigation. So methane is a chemical compound that's really harmful to the environment, like CO2.
Yes.
It warms the atmosphere really quickly and it's super potent. So what we basically do is look into cow burps and farts, which emit a lot of methane, about 120 kilos per cow per year.
Yes.
And there's about 1.8 billion cattle on the world, so lots and lots of methane being expelled.
Yeah.
And we work in those systems to reduce methane. So at the moment, we're working on a solution where we can feed seaweed to these cows.
Good, good.
Put it in their feed with the rest of their ration, and it reduces their methane output by up to 90%. So it's pretty amazing.
CHA4 Global, Too Deadly, fantastic. And look, it just makes me think that I've been invited to attend next month Fiji as an MC for the First Nation, an international First Nation global climate conference. So, look, we need to look after this beautiful planet. They're looking for life on planet Mars. Look after this planet first, don't you think, Sister Tiani?
Yeah, 100%. We've got beautiful, long-standing connection here. We've got to look after what we're standing on right now.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job in regard to your studies, your passions. And, look, keep doing what you're doing, my sister. All the best to you. Keep smiling, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon, hey?
Thank you, Bella. Appreciate it.
Take care. Yawa. Beautiful yarn there. That's Tiani Adamson, a Torres Strait Island woman and a descendant from Coorong Nations of Thursday Island, and is passionate about wildlife conservation biology, she is. And she's graduated as a prominent for the participation for First Nation people and women in STEM careers. And at the age of just 28, Tiani has already established herself as a prominent role model, next generation leader. So fantastic. And working closely, received the award there with CSIRO and the Dr. K Price AM Award for demonstrating excellence in ambassadorship for STEM. So look, fantastic. And looking after planet Earth, which we all need to do. We are all in this together. And like I said, and the young ones will say YOLO, you only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough. We've got one planet, look after it. Have you seen Yanup Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
You know about Glen Rowan, 'cause you had a job to do. You know about Urala, you were needed up there too. You mounted with the troopers in their uniform of blue. Like cracker, they needed you. Though your name is never mentioned and your art is never slack, walk proud and tall among them all, you gentleman of black. 'Cause no one knows this country any better than you do. Black cracker, they still need you. For only you can tell if someone passed this way you see. No rugged land nor desert sand could hide the mystery. So warrior, my brother, I'm forever proud of you. Thank you. your name is never mentioned and your heart is never slack. Walk proud and tall among them all, you gentleman of black. 'Cause no one knows this country any better than you.
Malboy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Caribbeans, Fred and Richard Kiwat here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, catching up with Tony Gibbs. Good morning. How are you, Tony?
Good morning, Trev. I'm good. You good, right?
Yep, I'm fantastic. Go ahead, brother. What you in yarn about?
I want to read something out, mate. We've heard about the... I've got the actual Cook's...
Dory. What do you got there?
Well, I've got Cook... His orders, and also what people don't know much about is Phillips, when they come here in 78. I just want to read something, mate. I think it's really important at the moment in the interest of truth and stuff.
Go ahead, yep.
Yeah. The claiming of the territory of Aboriginal Australia by Captain Cook in 1770 was an act of undeclared war and aggression by England. Not only was this action immoral, it was also illegal in that Cook did not follow the instructions given to him by King George III.
No.
Those instructions were, you are also, with the consent of the natives, to take possession of convenient situations in the country in the name of the King of Great Britain, or... if you find the country uninhabited, take possession for His Majesty by setting up proper marks and inscriptions as first discoverers and possessors. The refusal of the British Crown to acknowledge existing Aboriginal rights to land and territory was carried on by their unlawful successors, the Commonwealth of Australia and its member states and territories. And since the Mabo versus Queensland decision knocked out terra nullius, informed consent still has not been given.
Mm-hmm.
The 1993 Native Title Act and the 1998 Native Title Act Amendment Act has the same characteristics as Captain Phillips' invasion in 1788 when accompanied by the first colonists. And, Trevor, I hate to be the messenger of this, but Captain Phillips' orders were terrible. Mm. We still on, eh?
Yeah.
There's a few more.
Well, they didn't adhere to the so-called rules and regulations and authorities from the motherland. the so-called discoverers?
No, they didn't, mate. Well, Cook didn't. Yep. But Captain Phillip, what I've discovered, and I'm reading old tent embassy stuff too, or it's information I've had for a long time, this is what Captain Phillip invasion in 1788, this is his orders. You are to observe and follow such orders and directions from time to time as you shall receive from us or any other your superior officer according to the rules and discipline of war, and likewise such orders and directions as we shall send you under our signet or sign manual. And this last line is the terrible one. It belongeth to us in the right of our royal prerogative to have the custody of idiots and to use their estates and to take the profits thereof to our own use.
Yes. There it is.
I don't think anybody's ever heard that one, and it's terrible, mate.
It is terrible. Right. Yep.
And so that's the truth.
Yeah. So there it is, operating on those so-called rules, but even bending the rules to, claim land and take over land.
It says the rules and discipline of war. Phillip's orders actually acknowledge that it's a war, and so I just wanted to bring to that surface because we hear about Cook's orders, but that was Captain Phillips. And
yes.
I don't know about treating on that. We just need acknowledgement from this new king.
Well, exactly. So they built an empire on sand. It's slowly slinking. I mean, the truth, there it lies. You know, the law, there it lies.
And it is a war.
It was,
and,
yes.
You know, I mean, I live in a rainforest tribe. I've got no land. Got nothing. There's a whole you're dingy. You know, the Mulgrave River mob, I've got no place legally to live. So everybody's assimilated.
Yes.
The council took over the native title we did get, the Cairns Council. Now they've shut the river.
Yep.
We can't get down there, and now they want to take the water out of the river and steal the river. I mean, it is a war on a dingy.
And they're still practicing it.
They're still doing it, mate. Nothing's changed.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, and the people who do consent, well, they're the idiots.
Yeah, thank you.
You know,
and it's funny that the statement in that wording there is idiots. That's what they talk about the First Nation people, idiots.
Yeah, that's what it says. That's what it's called in Maori, you know. That's what they say, and I'm sorry to read that. Don't shoot the messenger, but
that's right.
That's Phillip's orders. You know, we talk about Cook's orders, but Phillip was under the, you know, according to the rules and discipline of war.
Yes.
So they're acknowledging their war.
Exactly.
And that's, I think, the important part of this. And I just wanted to read that out and contribute.
Well, it brings back the conversation of frontier war. There was a war here.
It's still a frontier war because
it is.
People can't live on the land. Nothing has changed. There's no treaty, I don't know, it might be like the voice, you know, we need acknowledgement first from that king.
Yep, and the phrase still comes up, build a bridge, get over it. That happened years ago, we need to move on.
Yeah, well, we can't move on, you know, we've got people homeless down, living down the river, and they're full on Murrays, you know, they don't want to be in the house all the time, they're like, you know, they'd like their own land that they can live on. Goldsborough Valley, my family mob, you know.
Exactly.
Which are upriver from Gordonville, about 10 miles. And, you know, it took 20 years to get that, to go through all the negotiations of native title. We give so many anthropologists jobs, they pulled the brains and the stories and everything out. And then they said, you only get native title if you signed an Iliwa.
Yep.
And
a Clayton deal.
And give it back to the Cairns Council, which took it from federal protection back to state. And now it's gone back to the council. It's gone down two tiers of government, you know. So
they always make rules where it benefits them.
Yeah, they just made jobs out of us, and then we got nothing. And it's wasted our lives, and I'm angry, and that KFC3. He needs to stand up, you know, it's his time. Everybody was hiding up the Queen's skirt for years. Well, I don't want to be up his kilt, and I ain't. And I'm glad to hear, you know, the police reducing numbers. Maybe they don't want the King as their boss, you know, he's the head of state.
Looks like they want the Commonwealth Games as well, so want to pull away from the so-called Commonwealth.
And if that happens in Queensland, I heard that, if that happens in Queensland, and some of these games have been the focus for many protests, and I probably, after what I've just read out,
yeah,
it gives people a reason to protest at those games if they want to bring them here.
Yep.
They want to play games and stuff, but we're not playing games, we're serious.
We're serious, exactly. Well, thanks for sharing, Tony. Okay. Fantastic.
Okay, Trip, thank you.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye. There it is, Tony Gibbs from Gordonville, and added to the conversation. And, yeah, read a strip there in regard to, is it Captain Phillip? It's and also Captain Cook in regard to discovery of Australia, the Terranellis land. Good go. Have you saying, yeah, I'm strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I'm a long way away from my country. It's a long time since I've reappeared. It's the feeling I feel when you're close on the wheel, and I'm missing the touch of your It's no good, this feeling of sorrow. Just go out and face it alone. And I'm waiting tonight, a watch in the night, and I'm thinking of just going home. So come on, you restless young rider. Come on, you young roving kind. Unless your revenge is not like you've heard, 'cause you'll find that you run out of time. Come on, you restless young riders. Come on, you young roving kind. Unless you're prepared, it's not like you've heard, 'cause you'll find that you run out of time. But it's not like it seems, 'cause your heart will just turn you around.
beautiful track there, Long Way From Home. Knuckles Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Yarn Up Strong, your mob, too deadly. All right, now, Young Indigenous Women STEM Academy advances diversity in STEM. And I just had a beautiful yarn with Tiani Anderson, a wildlife conservation biologist, and Deadly Young Sister, doing fantastic work. And it is National Science Week, let's point that out, August 12 to August 20. So we're having Deadly Yarns. So you're going to catch up a yarn now with Anne Marie, National Coordinator, Young Indigenous Women in STEM Academy. So on the line, we have Anne Marie. Good morning, Anne Marie. How are you?
Going good, Charlie. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Sister, where are you based?
I'm based here on Yuggera and Turrbal country in Meanton, here in beautiful, sunny Brisbane, Queensland.
Fantastic. I'm here at Cairns, Far North Queensland. And before we start, sis, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a proud bachelor year in, so I have connections to Gari and Harvey Bay on a bit of a cultural journey as well at the moment. I feel like every day is a school day for community me at the moment. And I was born and raised on Jarawai country in Toowoomba and currently joining from beautiful Brisbane.
Well, fantastic. Congratulations on the work that you're doing in regard to Young Indigenous Women in STEM Academy. I just finished interviewing young Tiani Adamson, a wildlife conservation a biologist, and the work that she's doing. So let our listeners know exactly what it is that Young Indigenous Women STEM Academy advances diversity in STEM. Paint that picture, please, sister.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we all know very well firsthand we're the oldest living engineers, doctors, nurses, carers for countries
and all industries.
Exciting to be able to support, you know, our young mob exploring these pathways at university, you know, traineeships and gaining that real world firsthand experience through the mentors in our community. So at Career Trackers here, we're a national Aboriginal-led organisation. We support First Nations students' success in careers through dedicated mentoring and pathway programs so that we can see what we can be. We're the largest professional network of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the country, and the purpose of our Young Indigenous Women in STEM Academy, which is in consortium with CSIRO, is to support our young women to see the amazing pathways they can take into, you know, the future of work and the role that First Nations voices play in these amazing industries.
Well, girls can do anything, of course, and fantastic, and we need more leaders in the female space, so fantastic. And look, this is great, and achievements and being recognised, but also they can rotate back into becoming mentors for their other young sisters coming through their studies, yes?
Yeah, that's it, 1,000%, you know. We're so fortunate to have this incredible community of 135 participants in the Young Indigenous Women in STEM Academy from the tertiary perspective. In the CSIRO team, you know, they look after students in year 9, 10, 11 and 12 to support those pathways into university and internships. And I love seeing when our young women who have come through the program in year 12, you know, now perhaps in their second or third year of study of biotechnology, are able to come back to the high schools they went to or jump online and have yarns with students picking their senior subjects and talking about the impact that their career and industry has had on them so far. It's just around that full circle of sharing. It's, you know, innate to our culture and our community, and it's amazing to see in the real time.
So just checking, Anne-Marie, when a young First Nation girl signs up in university, starts doing a study, who may not be aware of STEM Academy, you guys do your research and find the First Nation person, female studying, and then you reach out. Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. So any students can jump onto careertrackers.org and have, you know, a look at our website, register online and have a yarn with one of our friendly advisors to share a little bit about their goals, their aspirations and how we can best support them with the paid industry internship. You know, we work with over 250 of Australia's best-known workplaces. So the likes of Qantas, IAG, Westpac, you know, Australia's leading law firms, Google, LinkedIn, and Telstra, to name a few. So there's some
big name companies. Big name companies, yes, fantastic. And so they're at the table, which is a beautiful platform for our young students to aspire to, and if not, later on get employed by these big companies. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing to see, you know, students bringing in their own experience firsthand of caring for country or, you know, caring for community, their own lived learnings, lessons and perspectives. They're often great teachers to their managers and mentors. So, yeah, a really great space for students to excel and learn firsthand what a real world job looks like, and a real day in that industry actually can pan out to be.
Exactly. Emery, just talk about yourself quickly. Our National Coordinator, Young Indigenous Women in STEM Academy. How long have you been in that role, and how you've cruising with it, sister?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been working with Career Trackers for just over 5 years now.
Okay.
I still feel like I get to pinch myself every day going to work. I'm really proud that that hasn't worn off. And I think, you know, any role where I can be involved in the supporting the self-determination of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander brothers and sisters is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked in the role of the National Coordinator of the STEM Academy, I believe, just under 2 years now. It's been really amazing to learn about the different degrees that our students are studying, everything from medicine, you know, Bachelors of Design, Anthropology, Sociology, Marine Science. It fills my heart with joy seeing these new leaders of tomorrow coming through, and to, you know, see them excel and achieve new heights is really, really such a privilege to be a part of.
And of course, you are connected with the high schools around the country, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So within our high school program, we work to support young mob in year 9 to 12 across Australia with, you know, access to some of these stories of our young Indigenous women in STEM Academy, whether it be jumping in a Zoom and hearing from the students directly, or an opportunity for students in their school holiday breaks to actually see what 3 days in the life of those roles look like, shadowing interns and alumni of Career Trackers, to see firsthand and make informed decisions about their senior subject selection or different pathways, be it trade certificates or university. But I know firsthand, you know, being the first person in my immediate family to go through senior schooling and into university, that power of opportunity and exposure is everything. And I'm a creative industries grad myself.
Yes.
You know, I loved Stomp the Yard and news reporting, actually. So I followed a dance and journalism degree.
Yes.
But it's
yes.
been amazing, the different doors it opens.
Shake booty while interviewing.
That's
duo.
It. High kick weather update.
Hot chicken. That's beautiful. Hey, sister, good yarning with you. Thank you very much. And congratulations to all our deadly young Indigenous women out there who are furthering their education and creating a pathway. And it's great to have STEM Academy right beside them, supporting them. And success breeds success. It is a team effort. And thank you for the yarn. And keep doing news, Anne-Marie. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And happy Science Week 2023 for next week. We know the theme for 2023 is innovation, powering future industries, and goodness, don't we see that here in the STEM Academy. So thanks so much for your time. You have a lovely afternoon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yalo.
Deadly yarn there, beautiful yarn there. That's Anne-Marie, her name is, National Coordinator, Young Indigenous Women in STEM Academy. And just talking about the Deadly Sisters at the Young Indigenous Women STEM Academy Advances Diversity in STEM. So all different industries, and great to see our young sisters out there further education and got a vehicle that supports them for success. That's what it's all about. And we need more First Nation people out there, men and women, to become professionals and do their further education. Fantastic. And a story about the two old sisters there sitting on a bench park, about 75 years old, and give them name, Myrtle and Mildred. And Myrtle there looking sad and depressed. Mildred reckon, Myrtle, what's the matter? Reckon, well, I don't know, sister, just thinking about my life. Sitting here now and thinking of some stuff that I wanted to do, never got a chance to do it. She reckon, well, what's that? Well, I've done my job as a wife, as a mother, as a grandmother. Yeah, and always wanted to be get a university degree. She reckon, well, sister, how long take to get a university degree? You reckon 5 years? Well, how old are you? Well, 75 years old. She reckon, well, in 5 years' time, you'd be 80 years old with a university degree or without? Make a decision. There it is. Don't sit on the fence, you mob. There's a little story. So inspire you to be the best you that you can be. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
morning I wake up wondering, hoping today is gonna be that day. Politicians bitching about their problems, wonder if they really care for you and me. They don't care for you and me. Oh, 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 oh. Love is gonna come my way. Oh, 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 oh. Love is gonna come my way. Every morning I wake up wondering, hoping today is gonna be the day. My baby, she left me this morning, didn't like the way I carried myself. She said, I don't care for you and me.
Yep, yep, you saw me without a doubt, baby girl, it gon' be fine. Working all out in my mind, all we have to do is be kind. Hold hands, be friends, be gentlemen and girlfriend. Honey, I really don't care what you mean, making me cool to a fact, cool to a T. Just me and you, you and me, we forever be, baby. You saw me, that is just always in my nerve. And baby girl, you can feel it, cause you know that love is.
Yeah, love is gonna come my way. Drew's Namok with us in spirit today, my brother. And we got someone on the line. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, in a good way, brother. Tony down there.
Yes.
Tony Gibbs. In a good way, brother. Tony, if you listen, an Englishman. If he came to our camp when I was on the grog, at grog camp, and he shouted, and I don't know who you like as a musician, and if he said he sounded like Tom Jones, and he's shouting, bloody hell, he sound like, with the concept of us, you know what I mean? He is Tom Jones, even though he sounded like dragging an iron on a concrete, you might say, awful. But if he's shouting, we'll agree with you. Another word, like the Super Bowl commercial, that paid $67 million for the 30-second commercial, and what the voices, I reckon, brother, is manufacturing the consent of the native. And if you can, the amount of money spent on a commercial can change people's behavior to buy the product that they are advertising during the 30-second commercial. Mm. They'll change people. Same way with this cash that they. I mean, no business up in TI now. And if you can get that kind of money, you could change people as they're feeling their attitudes. Yeah, brother, thank you very much, brother. And you love the consent of the thing. And also, brother, silence is a consent too, brother. Okay, brother, thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Too deadly. Someone saying his piece here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can say your piece as well. Call in that number, 1-800-422-416.
Oh,
Yeah, yeah, that's our vision there. Lamanu, Teenage Band. This is your daily program, National Talk Black 20, Trev Murray from the Curry. Yarn up strong here on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Yarn now with Toss Mahoney, Chura Artistic Director. Chura, new music in partnership with Western Australian Museum. We're going to talk about that space now. On the line, yeah, Toss, good morning. How are you?
Trevor, good, thank you.
Good, good, fantastic. Where are you based, Toss?
In Perth, Trevor.
In Perth. All right, thank you very much. Thank you for coming to the program. So tell us about this, the journey down. We're talking about 3,456-kilometre celebration of connection and country presented by Tura Music in partnership with the Western Australian Museum, taking place from 24 August to 16 September. So paint the picture, my friend, please, Toss.
Well, it's a long story, but I'll keep it brief as I can,
Trevor. Go ahead, yeah.
It's a project that's grown out of the Warman community in eastern Kimberley. Warman's about 200 kilometres southeast of Kununurra, and it's the country of the Gidja people there.
Yeah.
And we've been collaborating with Gidja artists and the Warman Art Centre and community since 2008.
Yeah.
And this project grew out of when we, with the Warman Art Centre, brought an artist called John Rose up there for...
Yes.
A residency, and John's had this ongoing project, which is turning old car wrecks into musical instruments, would you believe?
Whoa.
And he does that by finding an old wreck that's been left out on country.
Yes.
That's rusting away, and then...
Well, this should be templated across the country. There's a lot of wrecked cars out there in this country.
And they're all very beautiful, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, yes.
And full of story, as you know, too. And... he then, with some of the mob there from different parts of workshops up there, welded, old bonnets and other bits of old wrecks around in what creates this giant percussion instrument. And then fence wire gets stretched from the front to the back of it. And in fact, even with a bridge on it, just like a violin and on the roof of the car. So there's these four strings that are then... with fence strainers on it, wire strainers, so that they're really pulled tight. And they it all gets pickups put on it, like just on a guitar pickup, but a bit different all over the car and on the strings. Strings get bowed with cello bows, and then, the whole object gets like a giant drum. And it's just, the sounds are incredible.
Fantastic. Well, they always say that someone's rubbish is someone else's treasure.
Exactly. so then what happened was the community actually loved it and embraced the whole process really well.
Good,
the kids were performing it and groups of adults were performing it. And then we commissioned through the Warman Arts Centre 10 Gidja artists to do paintings onto the object, which they did the year after.
Yes.
The WA Museum was interested in the project the whole time, and in 2020 they acquired it, brought the object and the formal rights, etc., and all the documentation, because we've done a lot of filming, filming the artist, the paint and the making of the wreck, and artists talking about stories. And then at the time I loved the idea of it being on permanent display in the museum, but also thought it'd be a waste just to put it on a truck all the way down to Perth, and that a sort of performance tour of the object, the sounds of it, with some Gidja and Mirong, which is the language group around Kununurra, when the two groups are two peoples very closely aligned with their culture and sharing thereof.
Fantastic.
All together with some non-Indigenous musicians, a screen artist called Sohan Hayes, who does his wonderful work on animating the paintings. And so it's like, and thus the Journey Down program was born. And as you say, those many kilometres will
happen
through 12 different towns and communities that will be presented at. Along with schools, workshops, and various community engagement programs. across 3 weeks.
Look, it sounds like a deadly program is how we'll describe it, but it seems like a fantastic community engagement. We're talking about artists, talking about musos, and just talking about an end product, which brings people to life and get enthused about what they're doing and a vision or looking up or where they can be in 2 to 5 years, Toss of what I'm picking up.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, I think the wonderful thing, you know, it's a total privilege for people like me and others to be able to work with community and the elders and artists like this and learn so much. And I think that sense of two-way learning, that exchange, has sort of really embraced
everyone. Good bridge builder.
Exactly. And, you know, we've got this community engagement program that we've got a bit of extra funds to make happen, which is called Reaching Out. And that's been running for about 6 months. And that's basically people telling stories about cars and wrecks. And, you know, I mean, especially the ones that are, as you said, that fill the outback, as it were. They're just so full of stories.
So your next Nissan Patrol in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, could be a cello.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Hey, beautiful story, and thank you for sharing, Toss. And how long have you been the artistic director of Tura there?
Quite a while.
Good.
I actually set the organisation up 35 years ago.
Good on you.
It's almost a little bit embarrassing to say that long, but there we go.
No, it's fantastic. Look, it creates, it's a nice vehicle that creates beautiful space for black and white, you know, for artists, for musos, and just to keep people active, you know. So thank you for sharing, and all the best to you. And big shout out to all the First Nation mob involved. And enjoy the journey, is what we say. The journey down, there it is.
Thank you so much, Trevor, and thanks for the chance to telling everyone about it. And we look forward to telling you more as it goes along.
Exactly. All ears here. Thanks, Toss.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dillian Toss Mahoney, his name is artistic director, a new music, and in partnership with Western Australian Museum. And look, over 3 weeks in August and September 2023, the Wurrunurral and the Gunungurul will make its way from Kununurra to Perth through the Kimberley, Pilbara, Gascoyne, Midwest, and finally onto Barbadip, the Western Australian Museum's Perth site. So fantastic. And look, a team effort and getting people involved and using art and using music as the vehicle, as a tool. And they say idle time and idle hands, devil's playground. But if you're busy doing things and passionate about doing things, then you focus on your future and your vision. And they say, YOLO, you only live once, so live life to the fullest, you mob. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, and you have to do that Monday, because Trendy Trev going to sign up for today's program. I thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon, you mob. Too deadly.